One of the things that gets in the way if you're a surfer, localism. The locals who surf year-round ain't always crazy about non-locals on their waves. That's not a problem for Reza, or Rez. The main character in Lala Kadivi's new novel is a local until he's not treated as one. Kadivi says she's always been fascinated by the subculture of Southern California surfers. She calls those who ride the waves there a tribe unto themselves.
These surfers have found their god. It is the ocean. And they will come every day and pay homage to it.
But for Rez, the surfer dude protagonist in Kadivi's new novel, the search for God and meaning in life is anything but mellow. Rez is the college-bound son of wealthy Iranian immigrants who enjoys riding the waves and getting stoned until something profound shifts beneath him and he falls into radical Islam. Lala Kadivi, thank you very much for being with us. So much of this book is set on windswept beaches where a set of very privileged teenage boys hang out and surf. It kind of seems like an unlikely place to try to grasp what drives today's militants.
I think that's true at the outset of it, but I don't know if you remember, adolescence is a time of great shift and change.
Oh, I do.
And I wanted, it's hard to forget, I wanted to track what happens in the most extreme case. And my models for this were not Americans, because the radicalization of youth has not been as prevalent in the United States. My models were the European kids who had come with their parents or had been born in the West after a migration and grown up in countries like Germany, France, the UK, that had accepted them only partially. There was always a ceiling or a cap. And in the face of that, they found the lure of organizations like ISIS or fundamentalist organizations very appealing because there was no cap. There was only total belonging.
Mm. Right. So it's that teenage experience, and that teenage experience has so many life-changing moments when sides are chosen, and those moments are nuanced and they're personal, and you write about those moments so well. The protagonist, Reza or Rez, at first seems to fit in with these waspy California golden boys. And there are these split-second moments when it becomes painfully clear to him that he is the brown kid. I'd just like it if you could describe one of those moments for us, like the return trip from Mexico.
So Rez makes these grand attempts to become a sort of hero of his group. And he thinks that if he can prove to these guys, these dudes, that he is savvy in the ways of surfing and in the ways of, you know, smoking pot and in the ways of sex, that he can then be accepted. And he makes a gamble and takes them south to Mexico, and they go on a big illicit surf trip to Baja. Their parents don't know that they're gone. They take a bunch of surfboards and one of their brother's trucks, and the truck ends up being vandalized and they end up being robbed. And Rez is to blame because the trip was his idea, and he loses the gamble. And slowly, that group that he wanted admission to so badly begins to turn against him. And instead of turning against him for, oh, man, you messed up, or God, that really sucked, they turned against him in the way that took on his name and his heritage and said, this happened because you're not one of us.
There's another moment like that when Rez is pulled out of line at the airport and questioned by a security officer.
Yeah, he's coming back from another surf trip with his good friend. And in writing that scene, I felt as if I didn't really even have to do that much imagining. I felt, especially in our new world, that you could actually come up to a situation where you are a certified citizen of the United States with a blue passport. And because of your name and because of perhaps the place you were born and the place your parents were born, you would be under suspicion. And it was this sort of suspicion that just gets cast upon him immediately. His friend goes through. His friend is a Anglo-Saxon Protestant American, and he, with the Iranian parents, gets held back. Mm. And in the holding back, the two border people give him a little lecture in which he is told very clearly about the ceiling that I was talking to, about the fact that you can be as successful as you want as a immigrant in this country, and you will be accepted into certain places, but there are certain places in which perhaps you may not be accepted. So all of your striving, all of your achievement, all of your contributions can only make for a certain place. It's kind of a big heartbreak for Rez to be in that room and hear those words and notice that, you know, the dream of the American life is not actually totally available in that moment.
Some people might use the term microaggressions to describe moments like these insulting moments. Is that what you call them? And is that what they are for Rez in your novel?
I don't call them microaggressions. That is sort of a new term that I haven't totally wrestled with yet. But I think what they are is a testament to the fact that no matter how we try as humans, this experiment that is America, this experiment that is the idea of many tribes living and eventually blending together, people will individually put up walls. They will put up walls around themselves and around their faith groups or around their geographical groups or around their class or around their ethnicities, and they will judge from behind those walls because we have not yet figured out a way to truly merge with one another peacefully and without the hesitations of racism and prejudice and judgment. Those are present still. And I think that rather than microaggressions, they just happen to be the reality of us all trying to be in the same place at the same time.
How does Rez start to process the cumulative effects of these moments?
When he's young, he doesn't notice. There is no weight to them. But as he gets older and as the world becomes more fraught, as the notion of hostility between peoples comes closer to home and the acts of violence become something local rather than something he just hears about in the news, he begins to feel the brunt of this exclusion and the brunt of this discrimination. And it piles up to a point where there is, you know, a final straw. And it's not even something that happens to him, but something that happens to the girl he has a crush on, Fatima. And he realizes that there is another way to be a man in the world. And he's got to seek that out. And it's this seeking of personhood, of acceptance, of a kind of power as an individual and a citizen that I think a lot of the adolescents who have gone towards ISIS have been looking for, and Rez is no different. He
right.
just cannot sort of take it anymore and wants to go to a more powerful place.
He becomes radicalized.
He becomes radicalized.
So yeah. I want listeners to appreciate the story, so no spoilers. But what's at stake if teenagers don't dial in to this discrimination that they might be leveling at others? I mean, do you think we understand as a country how tough these things can be for teenagers?
I think when it comes to teenagers, there's a way in which we have to be especially sensitive to their fluidity, to the fact that they are constantly looking for a group to fit inside of. And if groups keep leaving them out, they're going to keep looking for a group. And that group might not be on this soil. It might be on the internet. It might be far away. And it might provide a deeper lure than anything that can come here with success in school or financial success or any of the other markers that make people feel comfortable.
Author Lale Kadivi's new novel is A Good Country. It was really wonderful to speak with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Yes. My husband has been saying the drum music from your show for like the past 3 days. Thanks for seeking out the book.
Take care.